They think they're smart, but what do they know? It's Hector and Krish, the pedestrian show.
They changed their name just for you, but what do they know? They still got sued.
The pedestrians, download Stitcher iTunes. The pedestrians, it's the one without a review.
Their friends make jokes at their expense, but the biggest laughs on the audience.
So sit right back, grab a beer, you're gonna need it, Shreether is here.
The pedestrians, download Stitcher iTunes. The pedestrians, won't you leave a review?
Hey, thanks for downloading another episode of the Podestrian Podcast. This is episode 44. We've got a few more episodes left. And Chris and I, we're going to take a little break. And Shreether, well, he's gone forever. Gone but not forgotten. But if you feel like in this time when we're not releasing new episodes, if you're feeling like, hey, I'd love to know what else is up with the Podestrians, feel free to come and check out thepodestrians.com. We're going to post some news there. We'll post new episodes if we have any. Continue to subscribe to us if you like, and tell your friends about us. You can find us on Twitter. You can find us on Facebook. This is the second half of our conversation with our good friends, Max and John. You can catch them every second and fourth Tuesday at Sagerick's Theater in their show Uncertainty Principle at 10 p.m. It's a really awesome show. Max plays every week with the Rekia at 10:30 on Friday. And John is part of Naptime Sketch Comedy Group, so you can check out naptimecomedy.com. Also, check out Max's new podcast, AutomataImprov.com.
You can find it at AutomataImprov.com.
AutomataImprov.com.
Check.
With that, we're back.
Should we pick up? Do you want to bring us back in?
Yeah, sure. Wait for it. Welcome.
Wait, Chris, do you want to bring us back?
Welcome to the Podestrian Podcast. I'm Krish.
That was Krish.
And that was Hector.
Why do I all of a sudden feel like I need to derail things? I'm one beer in and now I'm just like, oh, I'm going to fuck with this intro. Well, yeah, that's Krish and I'm Hector. We're back again.
Do you feel like the stakes are lower because you're in a transition?
Stakes.
Because we can do whatever we want.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know what? Yeah. We're not beholden to our sponsors right now. Mm-hmm. Like, we don't care. Like, our content, like, we've always had integrity.
Yes.
But we've also sold out for the most part. Yeah. And so now we're like, we're kind of like digging back in and trying to figure out like who we are and who are we.
It was like, we started out by saying, fuck the police.
Yeah.
And we were like, well, unless they give you like a Pepsi.
Yeah.
And then we're like, yeah, even if they give you a Pepsi.
Fuck yeah, them. Exactly. Yeah, yeah, exactly. Yeah. Fuck the police.
Fuck the police.
And so that's who we are. And so, yeah, we're back into this podcast. Yeah. We're in our conversation with our good friends. Mm-hmm. You just heard one of them right there.
That was Max.
That was Max.
Hello.
And then also our friend who's coughing to the side, that's John.
Hey, everybody.
And how are you all? Have things changed since we last spoke?
I'm drinking better.
wait, hold on. Oh, because you're drinking wine?
Yeah.
You're drinking. So, by the way, so for the listeners, everyone except myself, they're drinking very beautiful. What kind of wine is this?
It's a Donatelli.
Yeah, Donatelli. Yeah.
No, good. Donatiello.
Donatiello, yeah.
Donatiello. What's the, what sort of grapes?
2014 Pinot Noir.
It's a Pinot Noir. Beautiful, beautiful.
It's not a daytime Pinot.
It's
It's, yeah, so everyone's drinking very beautiful wine. I'm drinking the Pilsner, the People's Pilsner. I bought this specifically because I was like, well, I'm not pretentious. We're not pretentious people. We are, this is a podcast of the people for the people. And, you know, and I mentioned to John, it's extremely expensive still. it's an expensive Pilsner.
It looks like, the art on it looks like vintage baseball shirts.
Mm-hmm.
If that does that make sense?
Do sure.
I don't know if people will know what I mean when I say that without seeing it.
It's got like a 1970s Montreal Expos vibe.
Oh yeah, that's good. I used to have a 1970s Montreal Expos like hat.
Great logo. Nice.
I don't know where I had it. Was like in our garage for the longest time. Not my dad. I don't know how we had it, but it was there and it was awesome. And I didn't appreciate how great it was until now. Mm-hmm. Now that's gone.
Oh my gosh, that happened with me. Like we had this game of memory, like the
where you're flipping the cards.
Where you're flipping the cards from Holland, and it was a gift to us from family friends who'd moved back to the Netherlands when we were like they were friends of mine when I was 5 years old, and they moved back, and they sent this game to us as like this gift, and my sister and I used to play it. And we lost the pieces, we broke the pieces. And recently I really kind of like missed that game and I felt a nostalgia for it. And
pieces, I thought the game is like cards. Is it like cards?
They're cards, and so I should describe, in Hall of Memory, the
pictures. It's all wooden.
Yeah, it's all wooden. they're wooden cards, and on
it's
the cards.
It's also very waterproof.
Yeah, very waterproof. And on the cards, there are these intricate pictures from Holland, and they're really beautiful. Like this game was made sometime in the 70s or maybe the early 80s, and these are really beautiful pictures. It was basically a collector's item, and we just used to use it to play memory.
Yeah.
And I just was feeling nostalgic for it because I was just like remembering some of those pieces, thinking, oh man, my parents probably gave it away in a garage sale. And so I found it on eBay, and I mailed it to my parents. And my mom called me up a few days ago saying that it finally arrived, and she said, you know, I have it. And she's like, I keep it with my jewelry. Like, she stows it away because she found it that precious. Like, and I just thought they got rid of it because it wasn't at home anytime I went. But she, like, just, she stowed it away because that's how precious it was to her. Mm. And now...
now you've devalued it by doubling the supply.
Or we've hoarded two of them. Two of the last remaining ones in the world.
You guys are smog.
Yes.
Just hoarding Dutch treasures.
Yes.
Dutch card game smog.
Imagine that with the imagine that with baseball caps. Vintage 70s baseball caps.
Yeah, well, yeah. I mean, like, I don't wear baseball caps. There, in high school, I did. In, like, middle school, high school, I wore baseball caps. And there was, I mean, it was like a phase. It was a phase that, like, you know, everyone else was wearing baseball caps, and you kind of wore it. I don't think I'm a base. First of all, I have a gigantic head. So,
I'm there with you. So
yeah. it's just not, I mean, I hate, it feels very, like, heteronormative to wear baseball caps because it's like, it's a one size fits all kind of cap, and it's like, I can't fit those.
I started wearing them again in the last couple years because of the bald spot. You know, that starts to happen. And it's fine. When my hair's short like this, I don't mind it at all. But when it starts to, like, balloon out and it feels like, like a crater on the back of my head in the middle of my hair. That's when I start
to Max, cap it up. I don't notice it.
I don't notice it either.
It's because I'm facing you.
Well,
I'm concerned about the people walking behind me.
Well, try not to have anyone be behind you then.
Yeah,
I think
that's a good move.
I've been wearing the knit caps. I've heard them described as watch caps. I've heard them described watch as caps. Not skull caps.
Scullies?
I've heard...
No, I think that's a real thing, right?
Oh, really?
Don't people say scullies? Yeah.
Like a toboggan?
I've heard...
Isn't that one?
Toboggan?
Toque?
Toque. Yeah, I've heard toque. Canadians say toque. But yeah, so I've been wearing that for the last like 10 years or so.
A beanie.
Beanie. I've also heard beanie. But beanies also make me think of the things with the propellers. You know.
Yeah.
But Sean, John, you came in here with a cap as well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yours had kind of a Steve Zissou vibe.
Yeah.
With the hat?
Yeah. Or the red.
That's been said to me a couple of times, and I like it. I wear it because I find it comforting.
Yeah.
You know, like if I wear hats, like on days that I need a little extra, like, hug with me every day, like wherever I go, you know, like
I get it.
Where it's just maybe it's a gray rainy day or I'm just not feeling, I'm not on an upswing, you know, so
I wear like I overwear it sometimes, and I wear it because I like to keep my hair down because otherwise it gets out of control, But yeah, I like the feeling when I haven't worn it in a while, and like I haven't been wearing my hat recently, and today I was wearing it all day, and it just felt it was like a nice little hug.
Yeah,
it was like a nice little hug for my head.
And then I think it can be too much, and then you have the reverse where you're like, I'm kind of free, I'm out here, world, look at me, and look at my hair. Yeah.
But the thing is, like, it's so different from like a baseball cap, right? A baseball cap, there's this, I don't know, like a baseball cap doesn't feel like a hug. It feels like. It feels like a responsibility to me.
Yeah.
Really?
You know,
it
like,
feels like patriarchal pressure to live your male masculine role.
Exactly. Really? Exactly. And like even with the baseball, you don't feel
like I don't joking, feel that way.
But I get it.
I absolutely feel that way. Because like growing up, I remember the baseball cap had to be creased in a certain way. Like I don't know where these like traditions come from, but it's like it's got to be creased, and that's the way you wear a baseball. It can't be flat.
But now it's
flat, right? Which is like I'm like, well, back in my day, they were like it was creased. Otherwise, you're a dork.
I would suggest to you, do you have a baseball cap?
Not right now, no.
I would say get one and work it in, so it looks like how you want it, and wear that around. Because I think I do feel so. I like baseball caps, and there's something freeing about wearing, being in like such a hip city like San Francisco, and walking around with this like my hat that I like is from Walmart, that I just happened to like I needed a hat. We were going fishing or whatever, and we just happened to, and I just grabbed it, and it was like $3, and it's terrible and awful.
Yeah,
but I like it, and it's just it's a contrast. Cap. Yeah, and it's really rounded, and it's just not like an urban like hat.
Yeah,
you know,
that sounds like such. It's funny how a hipster that sounds.
Yeah. Oh no, my exact anti goal.
It's great because like on one level, it's so hipster. But on another level, like the people who spend a lot of money to look like that will still look down on you.
Yeah.
Because they'll know the difference.
Yeah.
They'll be like, that's a cheap looking hat.
Yeah.
I have an expensive cheap looking hat.
I've gone through phases with hats, and there was a time when I was like, am I going to be someone who can wear a, what are those? A fedora or like one of those like fancy, like, you know, 60s era hats.
Yeah.
There's a problem with those hats now, though. Is they've just become a shibboleth for something completely different.
Absolutely. Yeah. Uh-huh.
It was whole m'lady movement.
Yes,
m'lady.
The neck beard thing. The like, I'm a nice guy, but I own swords. Kind of.
I don't know.
I got you.
I'm not familiar. Wait, explain this to me.
So, neck beard is frequently like a pejorative thrown at like overweight, white, nerdy guys who are nice guys, but are really terrible to women and awful things and don't really view women as anything other than a prize to be won. There's the fedora has sort of been co-opted by that market. Like, I wore a fedora in high school because I was into ska, you know? And I stopped in college because it turned out that that was just a thing that made me an outcast.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I had enough of those things.
Yeah. Yeah.
And eventually, you know, I think I still have one on a shelf somewhere, but like I can't wear it because.
So there was a time like after college when I was like first working after college that when I was trying to pull that off.
Yeah.
And like, because I was never a hat person except for like I had a few baseball caps, but like I rarely wore them. And then so I was like, oh shit, you know, like. First, I have a big head, so I bought a really big one that fit my head, and I was like, this is the best thing. It fits my head. But it's so weird. Like, it's such a weird affectation to, like, working in a lab. I walked into lab with, like, a fedora. And after a while, I was like, maybe I'll get a trench coat, too. Got a trench coat. And it was a weird, and this was, but like, it was like me like trying to be someone. It was like, it was an affectation of trying to be like this like 60s era Mad Men character that before Mad Men, I should say. And it's like when like Mad Men like became a thing and like everyone started dressing in that sort of era. And then I was like, well, fuck that. I used to do that. And but I was like such an out. It was such a weird thing.
And that affectation is why it's a part of that like thing. It's like there's a certain part of people that's going like, well, if I was alive in the 60s, I could have had a girlfriend because the world was better and I was... only white people had rights. I don't know. Like, it's just like all wrapped up in a lot of shitty stuff.
I will say I did it because I was like, no one expects an Asian person wearing this.
I think you've got to get a newsboy cap.
Yeah. But like a Kangol?
Like, it's like a...
Oh, like a...
It's got the little brim, but it's all... You know what I mean?
Max, I used to have one of those caps when I was a kid. So I went to... I think
it would just go with your style, is what I'm saying.
Which is like newsy, like 30s era newsy. Oh,
you got the button-up cardigan and the striped T-shirt, and I think a newsboy cap would just be delightful.
Jeez, mister!
You look like your avatar right now.
What is your animated avatar?
Like, I think you're wearing a sweater in the avatar, and like, I think your hair is parted the same way.
Which avatar?
The animated one.
Oh, the three. Wait,
the one that you have on Facebook.
How many? The cartoon.
Oh, on the pedestrians.
Yeah.
That was created by you, though. That's the way that you see me, Krish. That was an avatar created by you. I will say that is a flattering avatar. It's cool. Yeah, it's much. It's my ideal weight.
Your goal weight.
It's like stick figure.
Stick figure proportions. Yeah.
Well, Krish, I've never seen you wear a hat, except maybe I've seen you wear one of those like
beanies.
Yeah, beanies.
I wear the beanies. I was actually wearing one yesterday because I woke up and I didn't have time for a shower, so I was like, I don't really want to
style my hair.
So I just worked the entire day.
Yeah.
And then
wait, you worked the entire day?
Hmm.
Yesterday?
Yeah.
Yeah, me too.
Uh-huh.
Like the whole day.
Like the whole day, like during daytime.
During daytime. Like I think I was working, I don't know, maybe like 8 or 9 hours.
That's a whole day.
That's a whole day. Yeah. That's a work day. Yeah.
I feel like you were every trying day to you go somewhere.
I don't know where I was going.
You're going somewhere. A day.
It was something where I was like, do I want to keep pushing on this? But I don't know what I was pushing on.
Like, have we gotten to the bottom of hats yet?
Yeah.
Thank you. I don't want to forget about hats.
We can't forget about hats.
What was the reason you were wearing a hat?
Just because
you didn't feel like.
I had like morning hair.
Yeah.
And I just didn't want to deal with it, so I just put it into the hat. And,
I think this is a great reason to wear a hat, and that's one of the things that I get out of them is that I feel like it just sort of. Mm-hmm. In some way makes me invisible to society. Like I can just yep, this is me. I can just put it on and like I just feel like people are just kind of like looking at me and they're like, oh, hat guy, and just moving on with their life.
Like
where I don't feel like I get that same sort of distance if I'm not wearing a hat. Yeah. And I know it's
in a movie
eternal, but
if a bad guy is posed as like a custodian or like a dude who works at the ballpark.
Yeah.
They've always got that baseball cap.
Yeah.
Which is the universal like don't mind me.
Yeah. I'm incognito.
Down, pops the collar a little bit.
Yeah.
I had
flicks the newspaper.
The first baseball cap I bought as an adult was plain gray.
Oh yeah.
Which is like
no insignia? Like,
nothing. It was just a plain gray
baseball
cap. I
hope all the teams lose.
Like literally people would be like, that's the shadiest hat I've ever seen. Like it just looks like you're about to drive a van under a parking structure.
Yep.
Yeah.
There is something very like suspicious about just solid baseball hats without any logos.
Yeah. I hated logos growing up. I was like, why am I advertising for somebody else? And I remember like they'd have like these t-shirts, like even like they'd have like the insignia of like the alligator. Like, well, I'm advertising for the alligator t-shirt makers now. Like,
Wait, whatever. Like Lacoste?
Lacoste, exactly. But you know, and it was just, I really despised any shirt that indicated like the brand. Like they would have like, I think there'd be like shirts that indicated, you know, like.
How do you feel that way now?
Huh?
Because I feel that way now.
I feel that way now. Like, I still, yeah. I still,
but
like.
I didn't growing up. As a kid, like, so my hat was, I had a Taz from
the
Tasmanian Devil. But he was like a badass. It was like a cap with, it was a tan cap with Taz. God. But he was like a badass Taz with his own, like, baseball cap.
I think I had this hat. I think so, yeah.
But the I had a t-shirt with Bugs Bunny and the Tasmanian Devil, and they were all like 90s rappered out.
Yeah, yeah. There was a whole like Looney Tune.
We
rap.
Lived through the badass Looney Tunes phase. This is the same age.
This is Space Jam era, like Looney Tunes.
I mean, I remember the 90s had like, it was sort of like the golden age of Looney Tunes because
they had the Warner Brothers store.
They had Tiny Toons. Right. They had Animaniacs. They had Tasmania.
Yeah,
which was like, Tasmania was my favorite. Like, they had the Platypus Brothers, and they had like Taz with his family. Yeah. And
I was just thinking of the theme song to that show other day, and the only part I could remember is where it goes like, the sky is always yellow, whether rain or shine. Yeah. And I was like, this is a thing that I'm going to have until I die.
Yeah. wait, how did... Well, you know, we'll cut. We'll splice it in.
Yeah.
We'll splice...
Yes.
The song?
The song.
Can you get the rights to it?
Nope.
And his dad was like a Bing Crosby.
Yeah, his dad was a Bing Crosby. I love that character so much.
So weird.
Well, Taz.
Blah, 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 yakety schmackety. Yeah.
I think it's funny that like you lumped Animaniacs in there, whereas they were like very definitely like a send up of the Looney Tunes in a lot of ways.
They were, yeah.
And yet at this point, I feel like they just have sort of blended into the miasma that is animated cartoons from the 90s.
Which
and
is, they were a send up. They are also a send up by the same people who make Looney Tunes.
Yeah.
So it's
but with Spielberg producing.
Yeah.
Producing for it. Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
What's with that? Steven Spielberg was just like, I'm gonna produce a bunch of cartoons.
He did that. He also produced the Transformers movies, right?
The like, Michael Bay ones.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. So like, what a weird, crazy life Steven Spielberg has led.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess he can do what he wants, right? Like, he's...
Can he, though? There should be laws.
Against producing Michael Bay movies.
Yeah.
There's like two Steven Spielbergs. Like, there's Steven Spielberg, the brand, and there's Steven Spielberg, the person.
Yeah.
It's like, who's the producer?
Who's driving the car?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
No one's driving.
No one's behind the wheel, man. It's Steven Spielberg, man.
Do you guys like Steven Spielberg movies? I feel like he's pretty divisive.
You know what? Like, I fall sort of like, I get both sides.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I feel like it's fashionable to not like him right now. Or like, you know, him, it's fashionable not to like him, Lucas, and everyone else.
Yeah.
But I think it was more fashionable to like them in the 90s.
Mm-hmm.
Well, okay. I mean, yeah. So why don't we ask you, like, how do you feel about?
I think George Lucas fucked up so bad that he put some stink on Spielberg for a while.
I think that's true.
And, and by that you mean the stink of like this weird nostalgia, like of this like saccharine. It feels like Lucas made like a very saccharine thing.
He does that.
Yeah.
And he hasn't really changed in that at any point. Like, he went dark when he was like Saving Private Ryan. Like, I don't mean dark, I guess
Spielberg.
Like, he just went like heavy, you know.
Yeah,
like,
Schindler's List.
Yeah, and he went through that whole thing.
Munich.
Yeah, and then he came out the other side, and he you know, he made a bunch more lighthearted ones when he got grandkids, I would guess.
Yeah.
I feel I like a Spielberg movie. I feel like he will make a movie that I can sit and enjoy for 2 hours
whatever,
right? Like, and I can get through it, and I'm like, it's never like, I don't want to say, with the exception of Jaws, it's never like fantastic.
Yeah.
Right? And
the original Jurassic Park is my
favorite. How do you feel?
It's also, I like Jurassic Park, but I would put that in the category for me that it's like, it didn't, well, I mean, it blew my 13-year-old mind, but when I've revisited it, it's like, it's good.
Yeah.
I really like it. I like what he's doing, that sort of thing. And it's interesting you bring up Lucas, because they do have this, like, very tied history, right, and came out of the same school and stuff. because I think Lucas is aiming at the same thing, but always has done it much poorly, much more poorly. And so it's sort of like people are writing off Spielberg like, oh, like that's not a talent. Like you could just make any move. But like I really do think that he just kind of nails it. And like, I think it's a a really special talent. Well,
it's interesting because I feel like people talk about J.J. Abrams as sort of like the modern Spielberg or as this era Spielberg. And I feel like that. No, I don't think so at all, because Spielberg, I think, like, innovated a lot of things for and like made that, like, what J.J. Abrams has done is like aped a lot of things that Spielberg has done, but not really innovated.
I think when I think about that, I think about The Simpsons a little bit, and it's because when I think about The Simpsons today, it must be so weird for anyone who wrote for The Simpsons in the first 5 years to see people who were raised on what they made now trying to make what they made. Yeah. And I think that might be how Spielberg would feel about J.J. Abrams on some
that,
level.
That reminds me so much of, I remember watching some, it was some retrospective on a series, it was Blackadder. And I think one of the writers for Blackadder was saying, when the show becomes a parody of itself, you should stop writing the show. Like the show should, like the show should be canceled. And like that was fascinating for me. Like you, like there's a point at which like the only thing that you can do is you can sort of replicate your previous success. But at that point, you're just like, you're like striving for something. Sometimes I feel that way in improv. Like if I've had a good show, like I feel like I am chasing that previous good show rather than enjoying the moment of my current show. And like really, like you know what? Like that previous show, like the glories of that are gone. Like nobody remembers that except for me. And it's so counterproductive. And I feel like there's a lot of that sometimes in the writing of shows as well, where like we had a successful show. There must have been some formula there that made it successful, and therefore we should chase that formula that made it successful. Where like I think about Seinfeld, like there was like the Chinese restaurant episode. They did not make a bunch of other episodes like that, but that was such a beautiful episode. And like when it became the formulaic Seinfeld in like the later seasons, you'd never got an episode like that.
Right. Yeah.
It's really I can relate to that.
Do you think? Oh, sorry.
No. I don't.
Do you think this has to do with the idea of like newer writers coming on? Because I feel like you know, when you have a long running series, you have new writers who like submit spec scripts, who like base their spec scripts on sort of the format, the A plot, B plot of like the of what they grew up on, and like what you were saying.
Yeah.
And so you have the same sort of like conflicts, the same sort of like, you know, character developments, but they're basically just recapitulating the same sort of ideas, but just in a different scenario.
It's like people don't write good new movies as often as they write, like, I'm going to use an improv term that will make sense to probably some of your audience, but like they write a second beat of the movie or the episode instead of writing another fresh, interesting movie.
Right.
It's like, what was successful about that and how can I copy it?
Yeah.
Which is like, it's fan service, and that's why we do it in improv.
Yeah.
Is like, but it's contained within a 20-minute period where we do it and then we do it again. It's not the same as like, all right, that one was successful. Let's go.
Let's keep doing it.
Spend another billion dollars.
That's always like, that's always a criticism of like, you know, of studio movies, right? Is that it's like, and for good reason, because it's like this very huge investment, right? Investors want to see profit, you know, and when people talk about studio movies, it's always like, well, they probably like, you know, investors put all this money in and they want to see profit, and movies can be very profitable, even like shitty movies, as long as you can market it properly, as long as you can get like, you know, all these merchandise stuff, like Transformers, you make so much money if you just put like Chinese words in it, and now it's like China is an open market. And so like, it's like, oh, these are the formulas that we saw before, we're going to keep replicating it for
it's all about these formulas, like formulas for success. Like, how do I replicate a formula? Like in a podcast, how do I replicate a formula? I have a segment on the podcast, and we're about to have a segment on this podcast called "What's with that text?"
Yeah,
From a girl.
That was such a good segue.
It was good. It worked on many levels. Can I just ask a quick question? It's sort of a non sequitur, but what's this button that says "Phantom Power" do?
I don't know, but I don't want to touch it.
Cool. What's on the text?
Phantom Power was another G.I. Joe, I think. that joke's not going to work for anyone in the audience.
Call back to last week.
Yeah.
There are really good fans. The guy in Germany.
Okay, so I don't want to blast out a bunch of information about this.
But you received a text.
I'm recently single and I'm dating, and it's been years.
It's been
And I had a thing happen in a text that I've never had happen, and I don't know what the etiquette is.
Yeah.
So like I'm messaging back and forth with this woman. I think she's cool. I would like to see her again. But we're in that stage of like one or two messages a day, and there's not a ton of traction.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And she sent me a text today, and I think there's a picture missing. And it feels like the text is just describing something about a picture, but there's no photograph.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Uh-huh.
I don't know how to, like, I guess I can just tell us say that. Or? I don't want to read it because I don't want to, like,
You know what I think the right response to that is? It's a smiley face. Because, I mean, there's no point in asking that information in the test, because some of that is like if it's informational and you need to like get to a place or something else. Then maybe. But if it's just a text, I think a smiley face is like it says, you know what, I like what you sent me and I'm happy that you sent it. But there's no point in belaboring this, because the effort that she wanted to put into that text and into that message, she's already put in, and she just wants the payoff, and the payoff is your acknowledgement. And
you think on some level, because I think on some level, like the deeper problem here is just like I'm hungry for information about what she wanted to tell me, and I don't know it, and I feel like
you gotta play
that,
cool.
That I think you save for the next time you meet her. Like, by the way, did you send a photo with that text?
Yeah, right. That's the thing an adult with confidence in himself.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Adults with confidence can live with the uncertainty.
Yeah.
By the way, you two are wonderful improvisers of this one show that I love. Called The Uncertainty Principles.
You
know,
you tried to do a segue like Chris did, but you just followed the formula.
Burn!
The thing is, in China... I think that's true. I think it's like it's that thing of like being cool, I hate it because it's like
so much.
This is why dating is the worst thing in the world. Is that you have to be cool with being uncertain. And it's like, no, that is not how you live life. The market economy cannot deal with uncertainty. Why should I?
Yeah.
And yet that's the way dating works. It's like, hey, just play cool. Like, this feels like it's leading somewhere, but like, and you want information, but you can't have it.
The thing, so this is much better than when I was dating 4 years ago, when I was last, it's 3.5 years ago when I was last single. Because I think one thing that I've realized is like, shit, I don't really want to be texting back and forth instantaneously with this woman all day.
Yeah.
So, like, you do have to sort of back off and be like, well, I'll get around to it, and then I'll send a text.
Yeah.
And now, I do still have that feeling of, like, fucking send me another text.
Yeah.
It's been 10 hours.
Yeah.
And I haven't heard anything. But like, then it happens.
Yeah.
And you go, okay, good.
Yeah.
It's funny. I was listening to Chris Rock's stand-up special, his most recent one, and he talks about his divorce and, like, his relationship with his wife, and he talks about how, in a sense... he was married to his wife way longer than his parents were married because of how much communication they had.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
When his parents were married, they would leave for the day. They would spend, you know, most of the day apart, and there was no communication during that time period. Whereas now, like, you have this device that keeps you connected to this other person the entire day. So you're actually spending way more time with the person you're with than a person would have, like, decades ago.
I don't even, like...
That's very true, yeah. And I think there's also, like, a cultural, environment where there's just more, like... How do I say this? You share more, right? Like, I feel like... You know, the 1950s couple didn't, like, necessarily, like, go that deep.
Yeah.
And it's like maybe today's couples are more like, well, I'm feeling like this because of here's all my context. And, like, I don't know. It just feels like there's just more emotional sharing. Mm-hmm. Plus, like, there's technology to enable that sharing.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
I mean, I don't know. I don't know if, like, couples counseling and stuff existed in the 1950s, but that was probably, like, extreme measure or something like that, where today it's you know,
normal.
Yeah. 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 Like, normal. You do it to get through hard parts or whatever, right? I don't know.
Yeah.
But I will say, like, So you're wanting a text back?
Yeah.
So I've been in a committed relationship for a number of years now, and it's been very good, and I love it. I don't think that goes away. Like, I still want a text back. Like, you know, I want validation. I want acknowledgement.
I've had that even in the middle of a three-year relationship where you're just like, you don't get a text for several hours, and you're like, fuck, what did I do?
Yeah, like, are you mad at me?
Totally.
Did I say something I said in that text?
Did I say the wrong thing?
I said a bad thing. Or I'm like, oh, God, what did someone say about me? Or, like, what is out there?
You know, it's funny, because I get that experience, too. And then I also have, like, there's a part of me that's still the engineer. I'm like, you know, it's possible that this text did, for whatever reason, there's like a small probability the text never landed.
Just like this one.
Just like this. And maybe there's like, maybe there, I don't have a good acknowledgement because it's text and it's not a different medium where I can see if the other person saw it, it was received and like all that. I don't have that feedback. I'm like, should I resend the text?
No.
See, no, because I was thinking the opposite. I was thinking you were thinking the one that she sent did not come to me, as opposed to like the one that I sent did not get to her. Yeah. And whereas, like, if it's the former, there's no solution but to wait.
Yeah.
But if it's your, it's so much more dangerous.
Yeah. You can't go down that path, Krish. Yeah.
I wonder how much of this is. I would say that, like, you can experience the world through like an intellectual mean or an emotional mean, and there's some sort of spectrum or something. Yeah. And I wonder how much of it's you're driven by like information versus Krish's suggestion of like, let me just acknowledge this person and like we can move on with the stream of life. You know?
Well, that's ultimately what I'm going to have to do. The thing that actually like gets to me is now I have to change topics or something. I have to like think of the next thing to say instead of just responding to what she said, which is the improviser in me that just wants to yes and every text message I get and be like, well, great, you said that. Yeah. Let me respond to it in this clever way.
Yeah.
Well, you have to sweep at it and start a new scene, Max.
And that's hard.
But you know,
a lot of responsibility. You're on the back wall.
But the other thing about, I would say like, you can also consider it disposable. You know, I feel like in the way that improv is kind of disposable, like it's awesome in that moment, but it's also like, I'm not going to linger on this. I'm not going to linger on this like moment. Totally I'm going to move disposable. On to the next. And I think that's, I feel like that's the positive way of approaching it is like, hey, you know, like, forget like the million scenes that we've done in the past. Let's look forward to the next million scenes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I have to follow the logical part of me that knows I'm not like looking to be in another long-term relationship tomorrow.
Yeah.
Like I was in one. It was lovely. It was great. Yeah. It was wonderful. It ended for the reasons it ended. And now I'm single and it's like, I should probably like chill out a minute.
Yeah.
But that doesn't stop the like addictive personality. Sure. It's just text me, send me things, validate me.
Well, you would be a monster if you didn't feel that way.
Yes,
I think,
yes.
You know, like, and that's the problem is like, I think it's like, and maybe it's only in my head, and I don't know if this is true, but like I feel like there's something like sexy about the person who's unobtainable, right? Mm-hmm. And so that's the person who's probably like distant in some ways. I think any person, any logical person, would be like, I want to find someone who is like who can communicate and like you know respond and all that kind of stuff. But like the romance where the beginning of a relationship is, where like it's things are like uncertain and you're feeling like I don't know, I have butterflies in my stomach. That's when things are like, does this person like me? Does this person not like me? And that's when like people who are like maybe psychopaths are the best at because they're like, you know what, I don't give a shit about anyone. Or, you know, like, I'll reply when I feel like it. And that, for whatever reason, becomes, like, the sexiest thing.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So psychopaths are sexy. That's just the way it is.
Hey, everyone, Hector has a type.
Never write back to me.
You can reach him at Portmanteau War on Twitter.
Twitter.
Yeah, reach me at Twitter. How are we doing?
I think we've hit that time.
Time? Mm-hmm. I feel like we, I feel like we got into some stuff, but we never really got into, like, our stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, like, also we, I mean, like, the thing is, like, because we're we don't know what we're doing with this podcast. We're like transitioning.
If we were all desperate, we could just keep doing these forever.
Yeah.
But the sexier thing is to stop.
It's just like, no one to like hold back.
Leave them hanging.
Yeah, yeah. Keep it uncertain.
Oh.
How about that for like a
segue.
A segue. Yeah. What if you like kept. What
about
your text?
Much better.
What if your text would always be like, just like trying to get this person to come to your improv show?
That's probably not the one I'd try to get them to come to. Hey, person who's never done improv.
I love uncertain.
Principle.
Thank you. John and Max. You two are two of my favorite improvisers.
Oh, you two of our favorite improvisers.
Yeah. You're two of my favorite improvisers. Aww. Actually, all three of you are three of my favorite improvisers.
Three of you.
Same.
We're all gonna have sex now.
Fade volume out.
But we
newsboy cap on.
We can find you at the Uncertainty Principle
every second and fourth Tuesday of every month.
We can also find Max at
your fucked up relationship every Friday at 10:30.
Thank you.
Check out endgamesimprov.com.
Yeah, you do this so much better than I do.
I also do it all the time.
John, we also find you at naptimecomedy.com.
That's right.
Is there anything else that you want to talk about? It doesn't have to be anything, just like something that you want, like someone you love or hate that you want to send a message to? What about our fan
that's
in
a
Germany?
Lot of pressure.
Okay, what do you have to say to our fan in Germany?
Yeah.
Hey, thanks for listening.
Danke.
Do you want to reach out to Jonathan Skulski again?
Oh yeah,
Jonathan Skulski.
Do you want us to reach out to Jonathan Skulski?
I mean, if anybody wants to take a crack, I mean, I don't know what he has going on in his life, and I don't want to bother him too much.
Where is he?
But
you said Arizona.
I think it was Arizona or New Mexico.
Okay.
It was like relatively close.
Did he stay there for college?
I don't know. It's a good question.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe we can reach out to him again, get him on the podcast.
Krish is a pretty good sleuth.
Man. We find out all his recipes.
Does he have a GitHub account?
We'll find out.
Absolutely.
Well, with that, Krish, what else you got going on?
What else do I have going on? Are my advertising for myself?
Sure.
All right. I perform in Your Fucked Up Relationship Fridays at 9.
At 9, the 9 p.m. show.
9 p.m. show.
Great. And then I guess, I don't know when this will come out. This will probably come out after our last show.
That's right. Yeah. But before our last show is aired.
Yeah.
That's right.
Come out after our last show, but before our last show is there. But to anyone listening out there, thank you for listening.
Mm-hmm.
Stay tuned. We're gonna keep doing this.
Yeah, we're gonna keep doing this. We also have we have upcoming guests scheduled for our studio. So
yeah. But like, check out the podestrians.com.
Yeah.
We'll post things. Maybe John will share some of his writings with us.
Yes, absolutely.
Some of his musings.
And maybe we'll have something different, a different format, some changes.
Yeah. So stay tuned. Thank you all. God bless.
Bye.
Good
bye.
Night.
Bye.
Goodbye.
Welcome to a land that's way under, down under. The sky's always yellow in rain or shine.
Down in Tasmania, come to Tasmania.
When Topsy meets Tubby, they start to spin like a Tasmanian.
She said we're going to take a break and we'll see you next week.
Yeah.
Is this going to be two different?
Yeah.
Yeah, we'll separate it into two parts.
Cool. Yeah, this is how we stretch things out.
Cool. So we generate more content.
Yeah, we're generating content.
You got to generate
it's
that
all about
content.
John, it's all about content.
Dude, 2010 is the year of content.
You want to talk to our sponsor, Marin, was it? No.
Joyofblending.com.
Joyofblending.com. Marineblenders.com.
Marineblenders.com. They care about content.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Hits per
and
content.
They care about blending.
Yeah, they care about blending and content. And hash browns. And
you said it normal that time.
Yeah. How did I say it the first time?
You hash said browns. It in a way that somebody would like say hashed brown.
Like, I was saying iced water
yeah.
for a little while.
Hash brown.
Hash brown. Said, I think. Hash brown.
Yeah, 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 that's exactly what he did.
Wait, what?
You said the like
hash brown.
Hashed brown.
Hashed brown.
Right, like there's a burnt hashed brown. Simpsons joke. Hashed brown. Iced cream, right?
Iced cream, like, yeah. Where, I yeah. said iced
you
water.
Said hashed brown, but hashed except, instead brown. Of just hashed, you just said hash, like hashed a normal brown. Person. Hash brown.
Hash.
I just said it louder. Hash brown.